Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never. Refer to the metal nature that them hoteps, the father of medicine.
Greetings, family. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of Food for Medicine. I am one half of your host, Kenya Jones, and I'm going to be bringing my sister in here very shortly, but I just want to welcome all of you who are in attendance today and all of you who might listen via archives. I do welcome you and, you know, looking forward to today's show. Now, let me go ahead and get my sister in here before I go any further. But peace, like I was saying, you know, just a moment ago, I am Kenya Jones, and I am a naturalist, a herbalist, and a nutritionalist. So I am I'm really looking forward to this show today because this is one of my favorite times of the year, especially here in Wisconsin. We don't really have much of a spring. We go from, like, winter to, like, summer. So summer, I'll be ready for it. So my sister, peace, greetings. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, sis. How are you
doing? I'm well over here. Like I was saying, the sun finally came out today because the sun was not out. And I tell you, it's crazy, this weather here up north. And, it's not, I know that it ain't for me. It really ain't for me. I need to figure some things out because, we go from 0 to 100. We go from winter, barely any, maybe like a few weeks of spring, maybe about 2-3 good weeks of spring, and then boom, hit summer. So, this is one of my favorite times of the year, and I know that today you brought the topic, summertime nutrition, and a lot of us don't really think about it, like, as far as seasons go, we don't really think in that, have that mind frame of our food correlating the season. So I'm definitely ready for this show today. And just to go ahead and let those who, I'm just talking a little bit, to welcome in those who are coming in, peace and love to you. And like I said, this is my sister, Dr. Asivi Adiro. If you can go ahead and let the family know who you are, and then we continue. I just want to go ahead and get that, straight away. Okay. They're probably like, who is that? We know Kenya. We just said who she is. So who is this other sister?
No problem. So, yes, like my sister said, welcome again to those who have been with the Dynasty family and those who are new. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Dr. Asivi Adiro. I am a naturopathic physician, which means I'm a primary care physician who uses natural therapies, such as hydrotherapy, acupuncture, you name it, any kind of holistic therapy. And then, but my passion, though, is diet and nutrition, as well as herbs, to support the body and balancing out itself. Because in my opinion, if your diet is not in order, then pretty much any other therapy on top of that will not work. Because your diet is your foundation. You are what you eat. So that's why me and my sister bring this information to you every week so that you can get your body right through your food.
That's right. That's right. And like Sis was just saying, if your diet isn't right, other treatments that you're having to cure ailments most likely won't work as well as if you got your body in line. Now, I want to give you all the premise of food for medicine is to enlighten African people on how to use food, not just as an alternative to medicine, but also to use it as it was intended by our ancestors. This show is designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat. Ashe.
Ashe.
Yes. Now, I know today's topic, of course. I was asked you what inspired you to do this show in particular. And like I was saying, you know, just a moment ago, how a lot of us don't really look at our food based on a season, which we should, because a lot of things are imported and, you know, shouldn't be in season here. But, you know, it's just some crazy stuff going on with the food. So what inspired you to do today's show?
Well, for one, because, you know, the season, and I always like doing, I've been doing more recently. I talk about eating with the seasons all the time, and I've been doing other, I did some other shows where I talked about, you know, eating in the fall, during the, you know, during the winter, during the solstice and all that. So, you know, it's summertime, so it's just about that time. And in Arizona, unlike many other places, it's hot right now. It's real hot, and we're really feeling it. Actually, I have to say today it was very nice, and that was because we got some rain. So when you get rain in Arizona, you get humidity, and you get some coolness in the air. Mm-hmm. So that was a much welcome blessing from the earth to give us some rain. But don't worry, the desert's going to burn that right up real quick. So I'm sure tonight or tomorrow it's going to be hot again. So we're already in, like, it was like 104 yesterday. So that's the way it's going to be again tomorrow after the rain and the humidity burns off. But because of that, you know, especially because, like, this is the month of, like, Juneteenth, you know, festivals are going on. People are getting out, you know, especially in, like, the areas where it's more cool, where it's usually more cold. And if you're getting some warm days, people are going to be outside. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always, even off of the show, you know, in, you know, my everyday, you know, dealing with people, I always caution people, okay, so this weather is going to be a lot more different than what you're used to. You know, you have to make sure that you're not just kind of unconsciously going about dehydrated. You know, a lot of us are dehydrated most of the time. But when it's hot and then you're outside more than you usually are.
Yeah,
there's more to do. You know, people are trying to enjoy this weather. You can actually run into some complications if you're not properly hydrated, especially the elderly, especially children. You know, so it's really important to make sure that you're getting the proper foods in, especially water, you know, liquids, because all those things are going to support the body so that you can have the most safe and enjoyable summertime experiences, you know, during the season. So that's pretty much why I do the show, because Arizona is definitely seeing people pass out all the time. I see it all the time when we have, like, Juneteenth, when we have when we have different festivals and stuff out here, because people are excited. They're eating, especially if you're outside eating, you know, a lot of, you know, really starchy, heavy, inflammatory foods that are usually sold at a lot of these festivals.
Dehydrating your body.
Yes, you're drinking these sugary beverages that are also depleting the body of water, you know, and electrolytes. So all this is the perfect storm for you to be passed out, you know, at the Juneteenth festival or whatever. So, you know, this is just so that people can be more conscious, so that you know what you should be consuming versus what things are, you know. Well, I'm not really going to talk about what you shouldn't consume, but I guess I can get into that a little bit. But today we're going to talk about foods that will support the body for the season, because nature just has this beautiful way of giving us what we need, making those things that we're supposed to be eating during the time available to us, and tasting the best and having the most nutrition for the season. So this is another reason why we should be conscious about what's in season, you know, throughout the year, for sure.
Okay. Wow. So I know everybody is ready to get this information in, just like I am. I'll chime in, and, you know, whenever I see fit, but I know you'd be ready to go if you stay ready. So.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely get your, everybody definitely get your pens and your pads ready because, you know, I go in
yes,
when I
indeed.
Go in. So, and then also, for those of you who don't know, for those who are new, just remember that this is a live call-in show. And if you have any questions or comments, which we love, you know, we love when you call in because it just adds some more dynamic elements to the conversation, call in with whatever it is that you have. And the number that you will call is 646-716-7572, and you can press number 1 if you want to raise your hand, it will get to you, but if not, you can just use this number to listen. So, with that being said, I'm going to get right into the topic. So, summertime nutrition, using our foods to nourish our bodies for the summertime. What foods are in season that are going to provide us with this nutrition in the summertime? So, the first thing I have on my list is something that I'm always grateful for during the summer, and that's cherries. But today I want to talk about tart cherries because tart cherries are also in season. A lot of people kind of sleep on these because they're not as sweet as the, you know, the nice dark red cherries, which are also good to eat. All the cherries are good to eat, but the tart cherries are especially medicinal, and I'm going to talk about that right now. So one of nature's most potent classes of flavonoids, which is the anthocyanidins, which gives cherries their red color, these are, you know, powerhouse nutrients, and they are very abundant in tart cherries, as well as any other berries, but cherries, tart cherries have a lot of them and, like, really concentrated amounts as well. But naturally, like other anthocyanidin-rich foods, tart cherries deliver substantial antioxidant and anti-inflammatory activity. But tart cherries are superior because they provide high levels of some of these novel or these really these kind of like rare anthocyanidins that only tart cherries and some other berries contain that are, you know, that are just more kind of like they have the antioxidant and the anti-inflammatory effects but just to a higher degree. And, you know, a lot of this these particular anthocyanidins are what give tart cherries their tart flavor. So even though it may be tart, more tart, not as sweet as a red cherry, then, you know, just know that that's the medicine that you're tasting. So usually things that are more medicinal, they're not the best tasting. But, you know, that's just kind of cultural. The things that we're used to eating are not necessarily the best for us, but, you know. And you also may have heard some people may have heard that drinking tart cherry juice can help you get a better night's sleep. It can also quell post-workout pain. And the reason that people get post-workout pain and the soreness is because of the, you know, if you're doing a high-intensity or prolonged physical activity, any kind, typically, any kind of, like, physical activity that's, like, outside of what you normally do and it causes that soreness, what happens is that you do damage the muscles a little bit. That's just a result of the muscles trying to compensate for the activity. And then that you get the resulting oxidative damage potentially and inflammation, and that leads to pain. So anytime you have that soreness after you work out, that's what that is. Now, many studies have observed anti-inflammatory benefits of tart cherries promoted this kind of a dispelling of those inflammatory effects in the muscle, and it helps with lowering the pain in these situations, and it helps to accelerate muscle repair. So if you're somebody that is like an athlete or somebody that does a lot of like weight training, or, you know, you're putting a lot of work on your body as far as working out, then tart cherries, either eating them or drinking their juice, can really help with that. And this is especially needed in the summertime, in the warmer months, because the body is more susceptible to that, you know, especially if you're working out outside, if you're running, you know, it, all the things that can happen when you're in the gym just can be heightened, you know, because of the heat and the change in temperature help, makes that more, make you more susceptible to that. Also, the anti-inflammatory effect is not limited to just athletes or people working out. Tart cherries can also dispel all kinds of inflammation, such as that from gout, where the drinking of tart cherry juice can help to remove the uric acid crystals that can accumulate in the affected joints, causing the pain. And when you drink the tart cherry juice over a period of time, it actually helps to resolve that issue. Just make sure that you're not having any other issues. Like, even though there's not that much sugar in tart cherries, you know, just make sure that if you have blood sugar problems, just monitor your blood sugar to make sure that you are not spiking anything by drinking cherry juice. But it shouldn't really spike your blood sugar because it's so tart. Other aches and pains caused by inflammation may benefit from tart cherry juice or eating tart cherries as well. Just make sure that if you are drinking the juice, make sure that it's 100% unfiltered, and make sure that it's unsweetened tart cherry juice. It should not be sweet at all. It should have sediment in it, so that means that you have to shake it up, because all fresh pressed juices are going to have a little bit of the sediment still in it because it's fresh. It still has some of the fiber from the fruit or the vegetable. So just make sure that your tart cherry juice is that way. And you can find that in most health food stores. They'll have it. Just make sure you're reading your label so that you're not getting anything that has been adulterated. Now, the next food I have on my list that is in season in the summertime, and ours is in my garden that we have here, we have it popping off, is tomatoes. Tomatoes are a rich source of vitamin A, beta carotenes, which can be converted to vitamin A in the body, and vitamin C, and our B vitamins, especially folic acid. Tomatoes contain a wide array of beneficial nutrients. I'm not even going to try to get into them all here. Tomatoes are just awesome like that. And they're rich in antioxidants, including alpha-lipoic acid, lycopene, and choline, as well as, like I said, the beta-carotenoids, lutein, which is good for the eyes. And the three that I'm going to talk about are the alpha-lipoic acid, choline, and lycopene. Now, the alpha-lipoic acid in tomatoes helps the body to convert glucose into energy. So this is very good for people who are dealing with blood sugar imbalances, those people who are insulin resistant, those people who are maybe dealing with obesity, because the fact that you are having a blood sugar imbalance can also contribute to the obesity, to the condition that you have that is a result of excess sugar. So alpha-lipoic acid is very important in this case, and tomatoes provide you with a great dose of it. Some evidence suggests that alpha-lipoic acid can aid in the improvement of the vasodilation, which is the widening of arteries, or not arteries, of vessels in the body. And this is very important in the summertime because it helps with making sure that you sweat. It helps with making sure that your blood pressure is regulated. So people who don't have good circulation, those are the people who are more susceptible to things like passing out, you know, getting lightheaded, dizzy during the summer months. Tomatoes, because the alpha-lipoic acid, is an antioxidant, and it actually has a great affinity to the eyes. So, again, those people having blood sugar problems, diabetes, who really need to be worrying about protecting their eyes, protecting the vasculature in the eyes, alpha-lipoic acid helps to protect against retinopathy, macular degeneration, and other potential degenerative diseases of the eyes due to the cardiovascular system or the microvasculature in the eyes. Also, since we're talking about the head, alpha-lipoic acid has a good affinity to help preserve brain and nerve tissue from degeneration as well and oxidation. So alpha-lipoic acid in tomatoes is excellent as far as in the body from damage during this time of the year or any time. But they're in season this year, so that means that the nutrients are already and in more abundance. Now, lycopene is the most abundant nutrient that is in tomatoes. And lycopene is the antioxidant that gives tomatoes their rich red color. Now, tomatoes account for 80% of lycopene consumption when people are eating it in their food. This is the source, the sole, pretty much the sole source of where people are getting lycopene from. Now, lycopene has an affinity to the cardiovascular system as well, but more so than alpha-lipoic acid. It's like very it's attracted very much to the cardiovascular system. And when we look at tomatoes, using the doctrine of signatures, the way that herbalists do back in the day, the tomato as a symbol or kind of a kind of mimicking the structure of the heart, looking like a heart. So we cut a tomato open, we look in the inside, and we see how tomatoes have this kind of lobed appearance. That's similar to how the heart looks when you look at the heart. If it's like in a if you were to look at like an image of the heart or like a cadaver that has the heart opened up, you're going to see those same kind of chambers and lobes in the heart as well. So after looking at that, many herbalists said, oh, this vegetable must be good, or this fruit vegetable must be good for the cardiovascular system or the heart because it looks like the heart, and it is. So the lycopene in tomatoes has a great affinity for the cardiovascular system. So it helps with reducing plaque in the arteries. It helps with lowering cholesterol. Because of this, consuming tomatoes also nourishes the heart muscle as well, and over time can improve heart health and overall circulation of blood in the body. So, again, people that have circulation difficulties can run into problems in the summertime if you're out and about. So tomato is just a great thing to add in order to get that heart-healthy, cardiovascular system-nourishing lycopene. Choline is another important nutrient found in tomatoes. That helps with sleep. It helps with muscle movement. It helps with learning and memory. It's great for children, for developing children, because choline is needed in order for their brains to develop as best as it can. It's just one of those brain foods that are really good for young people to eat. Choline also helps to maintain the structure of cellular membranes. It aids in the transmission of nerve impulses. It assists in the absorption of fat and reduces chronic inflammation. So choline is one of those nervous system nourishing nutrients, so that when you consume it, all you're doing is really just giving the nervous system what it needs and helping with its development and keeping it protected from damage. This is especially useful, again, if you have diabetes, any kind of blood sugar imbalance problems, if you are prone to neuropathy, this is also good for that as well. So that's tomato. All right, next is my favorite summertime fruit of all time, watermelon. And all melons, but watermelon is absolutely my favorite. Watermelons have become synonymous with summer for the most part. You always see them at picnics. You see them at festivals. You know, if it's summertime, people are going to be having tomatoes, right? Not tomatoes, watermelon.
Yay.
So
watermelon.
Yes, and why not? Because they have this refreshing quality, they have the sweet taste, you know, all those things to help combat, you know, the heat. And, you know, they're just kind of like a easy way to just like an easy, big fruit that's like, it's like a symbol for abundance and collectiveness, because everybody can eat off of one. Like if you get a good size one, you know, the whole community can eat, you know, a couple of watermelons and be good. So they're really good to have at different summertime events. So along with cantaloupes and honeydew melons, which are all great, and all of them should be consumed during the summertime because they're all in season, watermelons contain many, many, many different nutrients, and I'm going to name a few. Thiamine, riboflavin, niacin, vitamin B6, folate, pantothenic acid, which is B5, all of those are B vitamins. Any melons are going to be if you want a natural B complex vitamin supplement, just eat melons, because that's what melons provide you. Melons also contain magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, zinc, copper, manganese, selenium, choline, lycopene. And lycopene is in watermelons also because of that red color. It's also in cantaloupe and also betaine. And according to many studies that I have read, watermelons actually contain more lycopene than any other fruit or vegetable, including tomatoes. So if you don't like tomatoes for some reason, or if you don't want to eat tomatoes, you can also eat watermelon, and you can get some lycopene from there too. And despite being a great source of the above nutrients, watermelons are made up of 92% water, which makes them an excellent source of hydration. So I've talked about how, you know, drinking water is important, but that actually getting water from our foods is even more beneficial, because you get the most purified and the most electrolyte-rich water from plants, because they are filtering the water for you. They're putting in the necessary nutrients in the water, because remember, water is not supposed to be dead. It's not supposed to be this dead, distilled, filtered thing. It's supposed to be alive, and it's supposed to give you certain minerals in it as well. So if we can't get to a spring, the next best thing is to get your water from plants, which is what all other animals do. And eating melons is a great way of getting that in your system. And remember, staying hydrated is so important during the summer. You know, it keeps your body sharp, keeps your memory sharp, keeps your mood stable, because sometimes people can get irritable and angry when they're dehydrated, and they don't even know that they're dehydrated. So, you know. And it's also great because it helps you to sweat, and sweating is going to help you cope with the summer heat as well. So definitely get up on the melons because they're just the perfect summertime food. And on that note, I'm about to take me a little swig of water myself. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So next I want to talk about berries. Not only does just one serving of berries contain almost one quarter of your recommended daily vitamin C needs, which helps to support a healthy immune system, there's emerging research that also suggests that berries may be helpful in protecting you from a variety of maladies. So consumption of berries can reduce your risk of developing harmful plaques in your arteries because, again, these antioxidant-rich fruits and vegetables, they just really help to keep the cardiovascular system clear. They help with making sure those kind of plaques cannot develop, which in turn reduces your risk of suffering a heart attack or a stroke. And again, summertime, this is a time when these kinds of ailments people are more prone to, especially if they're outside more, if for some reason people can't cool off their house, you know, properly, then people are more prone to suffering these cardiovascular diseases like strokes and heart attacks. Another recent study found that polyphenols, which are some of the antioxidants that give berries their color, may also help the bones stay healthy. The antioxidants in berries just help with keeping the bones from degenerating, because remember, the only reason that any of your cells degenerate at all is because of oxidative stress from the environment or from things we eat, inflammation, and any kind of bone or joint degeneration is because of that. So eating berries actually helps to stave that off. Also, berries have been shown to reduce or slow the risk of developing neurodegenerative diseases. So this is the degeneration of the nervous system. So if you are having issues with that, or maybe you are, you know, concerned with that happening, you can also include berries into your diet to help with that. And they're perfectly ripe and in season in the summer. And then, of course, berries help with blood sugar levels. And the reason for that is because of the fiber content, the antioxidants, all of the above. And then they just have a great affinity to the endocrine system, which helps with helping the body to properly metabolize sugar so it's not just accumulating in the blood. Berries are absolutely fabulous for that. So definitely get up on your in-season berries. We just had, actually, the strawberry full moon. The strawberry full moon was last week. So that is the farmer's telltale sign that berries are ripe for the season, and the summer in-season fruits are ripe for the picking. So I pay attention to the moon. If you haven't been paying attention to the moon, I would suggest you do it, because it's one of the things that our ancestors did to help us know when certain things were in season. Let's see. Avocados, that's the next thing I have on my list. So avocados, another one of my favorite vegetable fruits. Avocados find their way onto tables as salads. You know, you can make dressings with them. I make burgers, and I even make desserts with them. You can make, like, puddings. You can make, you know, you can put them to make things smoother. I mean, avocados are just so versatile. And, you know, it's a good thing that they're so full of nutrients, too, because that just makes it even better. So not only are they rich in fiber, but avocados are also rich in things like B vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin K, folate, potassium, as well as all these different cell-protecting antioxidants. And avocados are also full of fat. But don't be afraid of avocados, because they have fat in them. Do not be afraid. One half of avocado can contain about 15 grams of fat, but it's good fat. So remember, the type of fat that you eat is very important, and it does make it different. The fats that are in avocados are these monounsaturated fats, and I've talked about this in a couple other shows. And the monounsaturated fats have been found to help with improving cholesterol levels. They're heart healthy. They help to reduce the risk of developing heart disease. So the avocado is all good for you as far as fat is concerned. And researchers have also found an association between a diet rich in monounsaturated fatty acids and better blood sugar control as well. Avocados absolutely give that to you. You can put out some guacamole. You can put it, like I said, in salads. And it just gives the food like a little bit more body, a little bit more texture. And then they're rich in chlorophyll, which is alkalinizing, is detoxifying, you know, especially during the summer. Chlorophyll is cooling, so it helps the body to stay cool. Avocados are just wonderful. And even though they are rich in fat, they can still be a part of a lighter summertime meal. And that's one thing I want to mention really quick, too. So in the summertime, just with eating with the seasons in general, it's important to listen to your body for each season. For the months of the fall and the winter, for example, that's cold. So the body naturally wants to consume more dense foods that are more like nutritive as far as building foods, things that are more proteinaceous. So eating like root vegetables, legumes, all those foods that are going to be more like rich and fibrous, that are going to fill you up and kind of more comforting for the wintertime. Those are going to be more, your body's going to want those more, hot foods even. And in comparison to that, when we look at going into the spring and into the summer, the body's going to naturally, it should want more light foods because it's that time of the year. You're supposed to be more active during the spring and the summer, especially the summer. So the foods that are in season and the foods that we should be eating should be more light. Lettuces, berries, you know, melons, things that are full of water, that are full of, that are lighter, you know. So when you eat things that are more heavy during the summer, this is, again, another way that we can run into problems associated with the summer because the body, if it's weighed down during the hot months, then it's going to be more susceptible to, you know, some of those ill feelings that you can have when you're outside during that time of the year or just in that time of the year in general. It can just throw your energy off. So I would say everybody should just be conscious about how you're eating, what you're eating during the summer, making sure that the meals are light. It doesn't mean that you have to eat less, even though some people do eat less during the hotter months. I know I do sometimes, depending on how I'm feeling. But even if you're not eating, you know, portionally less, you should eat light. So more greens, more of these berries and melons and water-rich foods, cucumbers, things like that. Making up most of your diet during this time because it will just keep your energy in tune with that of the summer so that you're not weighed down and bogged down by a lot of this other stuff. And this is unfortunately what we see at a lot of our events during the summer. We see a lot of really heavy foods, you know, barbecue and bread and rice and potatoes and all these things, sugary things. And it really just can throw off your energy during the summer and make people sick. And you don't even realize it's because you're eating that way. So I just wanted to kind of make a note to people to just be conscious of that during the summer. And then just see if you do it for a few days and see how you feel and see how you feel a lot better when you're eating in alignment with the seasons like that. All right, so since I was speaking about cucumbers, let's talk about cucumbers because cucumber is another one of these great fruit vegetables that are available to us in the summer or they're in season in the summer. Cucumbers, again, they're actually another type of melon. They're like a sugarless melon. They're in the same family with the other melons. And you can do so much with cucumbers. Of course, you can do more with cucumbers than putting them on your eyes, you know, when you're having your spa day. But actually, that's actually an pretty good remedy to help reduce the redness and the puffiness that eyes can get. But other than that, you can put them into your water during the summertime, and you can add not only flavor but a lot of electrolytes and B vitamins to your water. They can make a really tasty and high-fiber, low-calorie snack during the summer that you can add to salads. You can add it to smoothies. You can juice them and have, oh, my goodness, cucumber juice in the summertime is excellent. If you haven't had cucumber juice, please try it. It's such a hydrating and electrolyte. It'll, like, give you a high. It's almost as good as coconut water. You drink that. But coconut water is its own thing. But cucumber juice during the summer, oh, you have to try that. And you might not know it, but cucumbers are also a great source of beta carotene. They're also a great source of potassium, magnesium, silica, as well as vitamin C, vitamin K, and other B vitamins the way that other melons are, which means that they also help with maintaining proper blood circulation, keeping the blood sugar, the blood pressure regulated. Cucumbers also, they help with keeping the body's connective tissues healthy. So these are things like your membranes, your skin, all those things. It is affected by oxidation, can break down, and it can make the skin dry, it can make the skin brittle, it can make your different membranes, you know, not have as much integrity. So cucumbers help with repairing that damage. So so if you're having problems with, like, dry skin, cracking skin, you know, any kind of skin issues, cucumber is great for that. And this is when you take it internally. And then, of course, cucumbers help keep you hydrated. And then when you're hydrated, your skin is hydrated. In recent studies, researchers have found that encouraging, you know, cucumber consumption has really helped with inflammation. So, again, if you are suffering from any kind of inflammatory problems, like whether it be pain or it be, like, digestive issues, anything, cucumbers can also help with that as well. Be sure to eat the skin and the seeds. And for that reason, you need to make sure your cucumbers are organic. And the reason that you need to eat the skin and the seeds is because that's where you're going to find all those nutrients, all those B vitamins, all of those minerals and other vitamins. They are really concentrated in the skin and in the seeds. So first off, you need to make sure it's organic so that you can eat the skin. And second, you need to make sure it's not a seedless cucumber, you know, making sure that it's an actual cucumber and not a mutant cucumber. So, and this goes for all your fruit. I didn't say this about the other stuff, but your melon, all those things, they should have seeds, you know, because that means that they're, you know, it's a natural thing. And you don't want to eat fake food. So I'm not saying that if you only can find seedless, that it's not going to provide you any benefit, but we need to strive to eat the most natural as possible. And fruits naturally have seeds. The seeds give you certain nutrients that the rest of the fruit doesn't give you. So if you want to get the most bang for your buck, then you want to make sure that you are getting seeded fruit as much as possible. So that's all about cucumbers. So the next thing I want to talk about are greens. I cannot talk about summer nutrition without talking about summer greens. So while collard greens and kale, mustard greens, while those are best during the autumn and winter months, so yes, believe it or not, kale, collards, mustard greens, they're all winter month greens. But there are plenty of leafy greens that are actually in season during the summer that you can grow in your garden seasonally or that you can get your optimal nutrition from them in the summer. Dandelion greens, for example, are one of my favorites. Amaranth is another one. If you haven't had amaranth greens, oh, my goodness, they are so good for you, so good. And also Swiss chard, that's another summertime leafy green that you can use. And some of these are even available in the spring, as early as, like, late spring. Of course, lettuces. So salad greens such as arugula, red and green leaf lettuce, romaine, watercress, all of these are in season in the summertime. They're so good for you. Greens are full of those cell-protecting and repairing antioxidants that I was talking about. So they have a lot of vitamin C in them. They have beta-carotene. And they contain a lot of iron as well as B vitamins and fiber. And they also contain a lot of water, which will help you stay hydrated during the hot summer days. And when it comes to eating your greens, you really don't, you know, you really can't go overboard with greens. I mean, you can eat as many greens as you like. They're low in calories. They're low in sodium. They're naturally cholesterol-free, for those of you who are worried about that. And not only do they make a great salad, you know, whether as a side or a starter of the meal or the whole meal, you know, that's how I eat salads. I can make a whole meal out of a big salad. But they're also great for adding to smoothies. So you can take, you can make some nice summer green smoothies with these greens as well, by adding a handful or two of them into, you know, a fruit smoothie with like berries or melons and things like that. And that'll be excellent. That will add to your hydration. It will add to the nutrition for the summer. And it's an excellent way to get more of these abundant summertime greens into your diet. So definitely get up on the summer greens, you guys. Next I want to talk about are some summertime legumes. So despite the U.S. Department of Agriculture's recommendation that a lot of people might have heard, that about 3 cups of legumes or beans in our diet weekly is enough for you to have. That's not enough, because most Americans are barely just consuming 1 cup per week. So, but that's tragic. You don't want to just stop at that. But beans and legumes such as black beans, black-eyed peas, garbanzo beans or chickpeas, lentils, pigeon peas, all of these are great sources of antioxidants. So you can eat way more than, you know, a cup a week of these beans. You can add them to different foods in order to, you know, add that those amino acids and that protein that you want. But they're just full of nutrition, and they really help to supplement the diet during this time of the year. They contain a lot of B vitamins like folate, B6, B2, B3, minerals such as calcium, iron, potassium, protein, and then, of course, they're very rich in fiber. For example, chickpeas contain as much as 12.5 grams in just like an ounce of chickpeas contain about 12 grams of fiber. And, you know, so that's almost half of what you need for the day. Because I recommend people have 20 to 25 grams of fiber to start with at least. But if you can get up to 30 grams of fiber a day, that's even better. That will really help with digestive system support. It'll help with cleansing and helping to bind to toxins in the gut so that you can eliminate them. So definitely make sure you're getting it. And beans are a great thing to they're easy to get into the diet. For example, chickpeas are one of my favorites because they're a very alkaline bean, whereas a lot of the other beans can be very acidic. Chickpeas are one that's very alkaline. So when I actually eat legumes, I'm usually eating chickpeas. And I usually make like a hummus out of that. You can use it to make as the base for like different soups. You can use it to make different dips, and you can put them in wraps. And I mean, you can use garbanzo beans or chickpeas for pretty much anything. So you can throw them in salads as well and just add that little boost of nutrition to all of your foods. And also, all beans and legumes contain high levels of not only the insoluble fiber, one that bulks up the stool and makes it push, you know, sweep out all of that stuff from the digestive tract, but it also contains soluble fiber. And soluble fiber is associated with nourishing the cardiovascular system, lowering cholesterol levels, controlling blood sugar, and helping with weight loss. So, again, legumes, beans absolutely can be a part of the summer meal plans because a lot of them are in season, like the ones I mentioned, and they're just packed full of nutrition. So the next was the fruit vegetables that I want to talk about are bell peppers. They are absolutely in season. I know in Arizona, bell peppers are in season now. They love hot weather, and they're just at their peak as far as flavor and nutrition during this time of the year. Even though they're available all year round in most places, it's the summer, they don't taste the same. They taste so much better in the summer. So you can use bell peppers as like a colorful addition to all of your foods as a snack. You can use them for dipping. You can put them in salads. You know, you can stuff them. I've had them all of those kinds of ways, and they're delicious. But, you know, they're more than just a tasty fruit and a nice, crunchy, snacky fruit vegetable. Bell peppers are, you know, high in vitamins. You know, about a half a cup of a red or yellow bell pepper contains more than 230% of your recommended daily vitamin C intake. These fruits are high in vitamin C, y'all. So people usually go to citrus fruits and things for vitamin C, but bell peppers actually contain a great deal of vitamin C. And, you know, they're, and for people who don't want to always have to eat some sweet, something sweet, like a fruit, a sweet fruit for vitamin C, you can also get it from bell peppers. Bell peppers also contain phytochemicals called carotenoids. Carotenoids are those antioxidants that give the bell peppers their color, the yellow and the red and orange colors. And their bright red and orange colors, those antioxidants are actually going to help with dispelling any oxidative damage. They're going to scavenge for free radicals so that they're not damaging our tissues. And then, again, these antioxidants have an affinity for the cardiovascular system. So, again, they're going to be keeping the arteries clean, helping for plaques not to develop in the arteries. They're going to be making sure that the integrity of the vessels are good, so helping with repairing arteries that may be damaged due to high blood pressure or, you know, other kind of cardiovascular disease. They're very helpful to the eyes. So the same with their carrots and their antioxidants, their beta-carotene is helpful to the eye. Same thing with bell peppers. So all of those beta-carotenes and antioxidants in there are going to help with eye degenerative diseases, macular degeneration, even cancers of the eye can be prevented with bell peppers. And not even just cancers of the eye, any kind of cancer can be prevented by eating things like bell peppers. So bell peppers, even though they are very common and some people may sleep on them, don't do it, because they are excellent summertime vegetable fruit to consume so you can get the most nutrition possible. Ooh, next one I want to talk about is another one of my summertime favorites, and that is mangoes. Mangoes are so delicious, but they're so nutritious. Mangoes, they're high in vitamin C. They're high in beta-carotenes, which makes it that orange color to the flesh. You can eat one cup of sliced mangoes, and you're going to get about 25% of your daily recommended intake of vitamin C and beta-carotenes, which are great for your eyesight, like I said before. And you're going to get about, oh, sorry, I lied about that. So you're going to get 25% of your beta carotenoids that you need for the day, but you're going to get 75% of your daily vitamin C needs. And that's just by eating a cup of sliced mangoes. I know I can eat more than that. Like, I don't know about you other people out there, but I can eat like 2-3 mangoes at a sitting, you know, especially this time of the year when they're in season. And remember, vitamin C is very good for your immune system. It's great for your cardiovascular system because it helps with keeping the arteries healthy, and it helps with making sure the cardiovascular system is circulating the blood smoothly. They're also high in fiber. Mangoes are high in fiber, which will help you feel full longer. They're high in potassium, which helps, again, with the cardiovascular system, helps with fluid balance, helps with replacing electrolytes that you can lose from sweating, which is, you know, of course, we're more prone to in the summer. And then also, you know, the fiber that's in mangoes helps with controlling blood sugar. And so people who may not be sensitive to eating mangoes because of the fiber, the sugar that's in mangoes, yes, you know, there is sugar in mangoes. So, you know, everybody's body is different. Just eat, if you eat a mango and you notice that it spikes your blood sugar, then you don't have to eat them. But most people can eat mangoes, and because of the fiber helping to slow the release of that sugar into the blood, most people will be okay with eating it. And it can help to with controlling blood sugar over time. So definitely get up on the mangoes. They are very, very, very good for us during the summer. And I also can't talk about summertime food without talking about my favorite summertime tea, and that's hibiscus tea. Hibiscus is great. It makes a great sun tea. It makes a great iced tea. And hibiscus is great because it's particularly rich in very highly active flavonoids, such as the anthocyanidins that we talked about, and other antioxidants that are particular to hibiscus itself. And all of these antioxidants are what give hibiscus its red, rich color. So, and that's something that we should always observe.
Yeah.
Anytime we see these brightly colored, these deep colored fruits and vegetables, it's because they are full of antioxidants, especially the reds and the purples and the blacks and, you know, the dark blues. Those are going to give us superior antioxidant content. And hibiscus is one of those plants in the form of a tea that we can consume that will give us that. Because of the antioxidants in hibiscus, many studies have found that hibiscus flower had the same health benefits as red wine and black tea, but then some. Mm. So it does the things that people say that they're drinking the wine and the black tea for, but it will give you even more protection as far as it protecting the cells from oxidative damage. And it will do that without the side effects of black tea and red wine. Because remember, red wine is alcohol. It's an alcoholic beverage. So any alcoholic beverage is going to stress out the liver. It's going to burden the liver. And that in itself is not conducive for healing and for health. And black tea, while it's not alcohol, black tea for many can actually leach minerals from the body. And for those of you prone to mineral deficiencies, anemia, and, you know, what have you, you may not want to consume black tea because of this. So if you are wanting to consume tea, a better alternative would be herbal teas. Hibiscus is a great herbal tea that will give you all those benefits that you're trying to get from those two beverages that I mentioned, the red wine and the black tea, but without the side effects of them. Hibiscus is also effective at lowering blood pressure in people suffering from hypertension. And further studies have shown, one that I read in particular, it was saying that hibiscus acts like an ACE inhibitor, which is a popular blood pressure control medication. And the antioxidants in hibiscus work to keep the arteries clear of plaque formation. They help to repair damaged arterial walls, all the while improving circulation. So hibiscus is really good, especially in the summer, because, again, we need to make sure our cardiovascular systems are supported when the temperatures start to increase. Other studies have suggested that antioxidants in hibiscus may also have anti-cancer effects. In one study, they were looking at these gastric cancers in people, and they were showing that people who drank hibiscus tea or took the hibiscus extract, actually it was shown to cause cell death in these type of digestive cancers. And it's been shown to help with promoting cell death and leukemia as well. So prevention against cancer has been shown to help heal cancer if people already have it. Hibiscus is just a really powerhouse nutritive herb that we can take advantage of. And even if you don't have any of these ailments, it's just good to drink. It's tasty. Like I said, you can make a sun tea. And a sun tea is just when you get a jar, like a glass jar, and you put your hibiscus in there, fill it up with water, and you just set it outside and let the sun infuse the tea. And once the water turns like a nice deep red, then you know it's ready. And then you can take it in. You can sweeten it however you like, or not sweeten it. So hibiscus is absolutely a great summertime favorite and a useful summertime food. The last thing I want to talk about, but not the least thing, but it's the last thing on my list, is water. You've got to make sure you got water on the table at summertime events or just during the summer in general. Water helps keep the body hydrated, of course, which is important for keeping all of the other bodily systems working properly. It keeps tissues moist and cells healthy, and it helps to remove toxins and waste that can be. And remember, because it's summer, think of summer as being this time of heightened energy. You know, the body is in an energy state to do work. And when the body is in this heightened energy state, the circulation is going, the lymphatic system is going, and that means that toxins and any kind of cleansing that the body naturally does is going to be at a heightened state. So you need to make sure you're supporting the elimination of these different toxins and these things that the body is trying to neutralize and get out of the system. you know, you need to make sure that you're supporting its removal. And you do that, one of the best ways to do that is with water, with drinking more water. It helps the body regulate the temperature also. So one of the reasons why people run into some trouble when they're outside, you know, with passing out or feeling lightheaded, feeling sick, is because they're not able to regulate their body temperature very well. And a lot of it has to do with dehydration, because you can't sweat if you don't have water to sweat. You know, you can't cool off, or your body can't try to attempt to cool off if you don't have enough cool water in you for the body to utilize for that. So just make sure that you are getting that in. So some people may ask, how much water is enough? And that's going to depend on your lifestyle. It's going to depend on the different habits you have, how your individual body works, you know, what your the size you are. But roughly about at least 2 to 3 liters total, you know, of fluids every day can be a good start for most people. That's not how much you should just stop with, but that's how much people should have at least. Now, if you're bigger or smaller, you know, you can decide, you know, based on that. But most people need about 2, I would say 3 liters of water a day. I know that's what I try to drink daily, but I eat a lot of melons during the summer. I eat, you know, so I'm not actually drinking as much water as I am eating it. You know what I mean? But I always get at least one bottle of 1.5 liters of water a day. That's what I drink at least. And then I also can, like, most days now I can eat, like, half of a watermelon myself. I can eat, like, 1/2 of a watermelon, or I'll eat, like, maybe, like, 1 honeydew or a cantaloupe, maybe 2. It depends on what I have. But, and then, of course, you know, because I'm high raw vegan, so I'm eating a lot of salads and things daily. So I get a lot of my water what I eat. But, you know, when I'm not, if I'm eating something cooked, then of course I need to drink more water. And I feel the effects of when I eat something cooked, because I'm not getting the same hydration as when I was eating raw. So that's something to also take into consideration as well. Now, if you're bored with water, if you're somebody that gets really bored with water, it's like, oh, I don't like the way water tastes, it's bland, or, you know, I need some kind of flavor, no problem. There are many fruits and vegetables that you can add to your water to boost the flavor, but also boost the vitamin and mineral intake at the same time. So, for example, you can make watermelon water. There's a sister I know, she made some watermelon coolers for us, which was basically just watermelon blended up. I think she added a little water to it, and it was kind of like watermelon juice. You could even juice watermelon.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah, you can juice a whole watermelon. I've done that before.
The whole watermelon.
And when you juice it down, it isn't as much as you would think.
Because
you can blend maybe like a half a gallon. It isn't even a full gallon. Yeah, it's not as much as you would think. A bit.
Yep.
And blend your seeds too. Don't forget the seeds.
Yes. Exactly.
Don't forget the seeds. But yes, that's some yummy. That's some yummy, because I wasn't a really big fan of watermelon until I juiced my first watermelon. Not juiced, but blended my first watermelon.
Yeah.
And I was just in love. Like, wow, this is the best stuff I ever had.
Exactly. Yep, I've definitely done that too. I've made like little watermelon coolers like that, like with the blended watermelon flesh. And then also too, if you have an organic watermelon that, you know, like a nice organic watermelon that you are sure of the farming practices, and you know you're sure it has been sprayed or adulterated, you can also take the rind of the watermelon and juice it. You can add it to juices, because it's going to be like a cucumber. It's going to be kind of like almost like a little bit of more of a bitter cucumber. And that has plenty of water in it, plenty of water. So don't waste that rind if you don't have to juice it. And I've done that before too. And that'll give you some nice hydration as well. But you can also just take some of these fruits and vegetables and slice them up. For example, you can take zucchini, you can take cucumber, and just add it to your water. You know, you can take oranges, berries, add it to your water, because that's going to infuse it and give it more flavor, but then also give you those nutrients from the fruit. And then eat the fruit, you know. So that's for those people who are saying they're bored with water, or they just want to kind of jazz up their water. So it's more of an incentive to drink it. So, and then, of course, the tea. when you're drinking like the hibiscus tea, the sun teas, for example, that's another way that you can get some liquids in as well. So, you know, just be, you know, the opportunities are endless as far as how you can prepare these different summertime foods for nutrition, or you can get water and other avenues of hydration into your diet. So get out there and make sure you are nourished for the summer before you go out and go into your activities for the summer. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
So that's all I have.
This is some awesome information, like always. And I hope you all took notes. I hope you all took notes because I know I did. And I'm so ready.
Yes.
I'm looking high and low for a seeded watermelon here.
I have not
been able to find that.
I know.
I just don't understand. This is like the second summer in a row that I've noticed it's been taking a really long time for them to come into season, and then the season is really short. I don't know what they're doing, pushing these GMO watermelons on to everyone. They're just in abundance everywhere you go, the little tiny seedless ones. So, I'm going to have to check. I'm going to have to go over there, to the other side of town, and hopefully the Mexicans get
some
over there.
Find you a farmer's market, something.
Yeah, because the farmer's market close to my house, have not had them either, which is interesting. But I know, I'm going to have to drive about 25 minutes or so, but I bet you on that side of town, they going to have them some seeded watermelons. So I'm on pursuit, y'all. And I'm just so happy for this show. Like I said, I can't wait to get my melons in, get me some good, water-rich foods in. So, once again, sis, thank you so much for all the information that you bring. I know everybody
enjoyed
the show. Mm-hmm. And if don't be shy, y'all. I see y'all just chilling. I guess they're just taking in all the information. But, if you ever have any questions, you can always contact us on Food for Medicine on Facebook. And, sis, could you go ahead and give them your information so they can contact you just in case they want to have consult with you about something or something of that sort.
No problem. So my website is Ask Dr. Adiro, which is A-S as in safflower, K, D as in dog, R, A, D as in diamond, I-R-O, dot Weebly, W-E-E, B as in boy, L-Y, .com. So askdradiro.weebly.com is my website. You can also email me at askdradiro@gmail.com, and you can just send me any kind of questions, comments, or concerns you have if you are interested in consultation, any of my services. You can also see a list of my services on my website and other things I provide. I also have an herb store, an online herb store, a product store, and a community marketplace for other items that I do not actually make myself, but I recommend. So definitely check that out. I also have a Facebook page for my practice called Nkingu Health, which is N as in nighttime, apostrophe, K-I-N as in nighttime, G-U, health, H-E-A-L-T-H, Nkingu Health, and you can just put that into the search on Facebook, find it, and then like it, please. So I hope that was all informative for you guys, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sis. I know that they're, taking this in because, I said, I'm ready. I know things are a little bit slow on this side of, in the U.S., but, I can't wait for summer to actually hit and me to take advantage of some of the fruits and things that you spoke of. So remember, guys, we will be here next week, same time. And if you miss any of our other shows, you can always catch our archives. Go to our website, network.net, check out Food for Medicine, as well as the other shows. We have had an abundance of shows and information packed broadcast that you can always go and check out at any time. And tomorrow, you want to stay tuned. Tomorrow, check out Empress T at Life After Christianity 101. She has
a website as well as a group, a support group on Facebook. So check that out. And peace, my sister. Enjoy that nice little weather y'all got out there. And I'm going to go walk over here by the water. Get me some
get some things going on. That sounds nice.
Yes, I am, because the sun finally hit. So I'm going to take advantage and get some of this vitamin D.
That's right.
All right, my family. So peace, love, and we will be here next week, same time.
All right. Peace, everyone.